Welcome to the Ted Borrower Show for Sunday night, November the 15th. The whole world right now is kind of still in shock as to what's happened here in France and all the families that have been affected. And we're going to talk about that in detail tonight and give you our perspective on what happened. We pulled up probably 24 articles. We'll try to get through all of them tonight as to what we think happened and what was going on with all of this. And again, I don't think it's what we think it is. But right now, though, Austin, I want to go ahead and pray for the folks in France and in Paris, and for the families of those people affected, for the literally the hundreds injured and over 100 dead now. And we don't realize that these are children, these are fathers, these are mothers, these are uncles and cousins, and it's going to affect literally tens of thousands of people all over Paris. So let's kind of just open this show in a word of prayer. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for the Parisians. I pray for the people in France. I pray that your strength comes upon them, Father. I pray the Spirit of the Most High comes upon France and that they can have some type of comfort in this horrible, horrible time, Lord, they're going through right now. Please help these people who are involved with all of these murders, Lord, to come to justice, and let us figure out exactly who in the world did it and why they did it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Austin, you want to get started on this tonight? Because I'm sure you've been reading as much as I have.
Yeah, I have, man. I mean, it's just, it's pretty crazy. I mean, you've seen all this stuff I have, and the biggest question that I had was, you know, why is this happening? You know, why are we continuing to allow people in? Was this a false flag? Was this, you know, something we knew about and we didn't stop? But the truth about it is, I mean, a lot of this was so coordinated that, I mean, there's no way that this was just, you know, a run-of-the-mill, you know, ISIS, Islam, terror threat, all of a sudden that just popped up in Paris that nobody's known anything about. And that's one thing they even addressed in one of the articles here, is that, you know, before the Charlie Hebdo attack back in January, the French security agencies had tracked the guys that were involved with that for nearly a decade. They had arrested one of them a total of two times, incarcerating him at least once, tracked two more of them overseas where they had been trained with known Syrian groups, and then tracking him back to the French territory, and never moved in on any of the terrorists, claiming that basically they had been tracking them, and they had finally decided to close their case exactly before everything happened. And we're already starting to see now that, you know, a lot of these guys, they knew what was going on. They've seen these guys pop up on red flags. And then one of the guys now, they're saying, this is what they're saying. Who knows if it's true? They're saying he had a Syrian passport. So it was, and they're saying he was a refugee in Paris now. So we've already been talking about this the last couple of weeks, you and I both, and a lot of other people that are awake, that, I mean, this mass invasion from all these riddled countries is not going to do anything but get worse to the population in Europe if they continue to allow all these people to flood in through the borders unchecked. They have no idea their background.
Yeah, let me give you a little background on what's going on in Syria, because, you know, they've been in a civil war now for several years. And here's an interesting post, and it said that the reason that Assad has been vilified, this is the president of Syria, is because Qatar wants a natural gas pipeline to run through the Arabian Peninsula, through Jordan, through Syria to Turkey. From Turkey, it can connect with existing pipelines to Europe in order to supply Europe with natural gas. This is from Zero Hedge. This proposed pipeline would threaten Russia economically, as Russia currently supplies Europe with natural gas, in fact, almost all of their natural gas. Syria and Russia are allies. Thus, Assad said no to the proposed Qatar-Turkey pipeline that would run through Syria. Next thing you know, there's an uprising in Syria, and Assad is public enemy number one. And when it became clear that the American public did not want another war potentially with Syria, and Putin dramatically stymied U.S. aggression against Syria, then suddenly ISIS pops up out of nowhere with funding, arms, supplies, logistics, etc. Imagine that. The globalists hate that Russia supplies Europe with energy with natural gas. It is the globalist policy to isolate and surround Russia. They hate the czars. Isolating Russia involves preventing, halting, or stopping the spread of Russia and doing business past its borders as much as possible, particularly with Europe, which the globalists in the West regards as its own turf. Russia's natural gas supply to Europe has been a thorn in the global side for some years. Now, let me tell you why this happened. In the 8th century, there was a place called Khazaria. You can basically look it up on the old maps. And this is where the sorcerers and the magicians and the Baal worshippers and the devil worshippers were. They were actually called snake people. And they were basically surrounded by Russia, and they were forced to stop to doing these raids in the middle of the night in the surrounding countries and bringing children back for human sacrifice. And what happened is this whole Khazaria was forced at that point to accept either become Muslim or to become Jewish. And this is history. You can look it up. And what they did, they chose to become Jewish. And what they did, they set up a sect of Judaism, the Khazarian sect, which they incorporated their human sacrifice and all that still, but they claimed to be Jews. Now, a lot of these are the ones that immigrated back into Europe, because this is way, way, way after, remember, when the great persecution of the Jews from Babylon, and they were spread throughout all of Europe. Well, they also incorporated their Kabbalah, the Babylonian Talmud, all of these different things they brought into their worship with what's going on. And there's been this blood feud now with these Khazarians. The Book of Revelation is very clear. So they claim to be Jews, but they are not. It's basically there's been this blood feud now going on for 1,300 years almost. And they absolutely hate Russia. And this is what happened in the 1600s with Sabbatain Levy. He basically got hooked up with Jacob Frank in the 1700s. And then again with the Rothschilds in the 1700s. And they basically, the Rothschilds started funding all this through the Babylonian money magic system that they were using. And so this thing's been going on for 1,000 years, this hatred against Russia. And so, they don't want Putin there. They don't want Russia being independent with oil or natural gas. They want everybody to be their slaves. So you got to realize that the Mossad and ISIS and the USA and the CIA and our State Department are all pretty much under the same blanket. I'm going to give you some statistics on that right now. But I wrote this morning, and I want to just share this with you. I sent this out in an email. And I said, first of all, I want you to know that the jihadist threat is real. Many people died on Friday the 13th. There are radical Muslims who are willing to die to destroy the infidels, which we saw that because a lot of them blew themselves up with their vests this time. Here's the twist. Our government through the CIA has for decades used radicals to commit false flags. Look at Operation Gladio and Operation Condor and Operation Northwoods. The attacks in Paris were carried out with precision and expertise. They were highly trained. They were highly organized. The attackers appeared to be well-armed. Kind of sounds like ISIS, who are government-funded, trained, and armed. This is a mess. As we've mentioned on earlier shows, George Soros is deeply involved. He has stated publicly he wants no European borders. And again, if you want to listen to my show that I did with Hagman, I talk about that. And also what I did on Friday with the Caravan to Midnight with J.B. Wells. We go into detail on that. I was on the radio for 6 hours on Friday, so I'm a little fatigued still tonight, but I felt this was so important. I need to get this information out. The craziest thing about all of this is France knew this was coming. They knew months ago this was coming. Let me read you what it says. The explosives employed were those stolen in a little publicized theft from a French military armory months earlier. The French and German federal police and intelligence services strongly believed at that time that terrorists were casing soft targets inside of Paris, and it was a matter of time, not if. The only point of contention within the French security services is whether or not the target would be a soft civilian or a hard military target. The gunmen detonated explosive belts, and dozens of shock survivors were rescued as they killed themselves. Some 40 more people were killed in 5 other attacks in the Paris region, the city hall official said, including an apparent double suicide bombing outside of the National Stadium, where Holland and German foreign minister were watching a friendly soccer game. Some 200 people were injured. Paris public prosecutor Françoise Molins' spokeswoman said 8 assailants, and also one had died, one was gunned down by police, and others had blown themselves up. One was captured, who immediately said he was with ISIS and he was defending Syria. What is unmistakable at this point is the French authorities had forewarning of an impending attack on Paris and were completely impotent to avert catastrophe. Quote, "We were expecting something. We knew it was coming," one Western diplomat told BuzzFeed News under the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the subject. "The fact that we failed to stop it is definitely a failure." With the current global spying apparatus in place, it would seem virtually impossible to coordinate such a large-scale attack with so many individuals involved without alerting intelligence authorities. This was allowed to happen. Just like 9/11, when they shut down Strategic Air Command on 9/11 and allowed 9/11 to happen. They knew it was going to happen. They wanted it to happen because they wanted to declare the martial law in Paris. Now they have military entering the homes in Paris without consent. And he goes on to say, we must ensure that no one comes in to commit any act whatsoever, and at the same time make sure that those who have committed these crimes should be arrested if they try to leave the country. Shortly after the speech, Holland's office announced he was canceling his participation in the G20 meeting in Turkey this weekend. A mandatory curfew was instituted in Paris, the first since 1944. The French army deployed on the streets of Paris, and they've been entering any home, any business, or any residence without any consent from the owners. Personal rights and freedoms have been totally suspended in the best interest of the state. This, my young friends, my old friends, my good friends who are listening, is a mess. And if this thing reeks of a total false flag, they've actually locked down the entire country now, and whether that they open it up at the beginning of the week or not, I don't know. It's interesting to me, this was done on Friday night. Some theorists have been saying they think it's because of something to do with Friday the 13th. I think they always want to do things on Friday like this because they're trying to prevent the biggest blowback to the stock market. Because if this had happened on a Monday morning or Monday afternoon or whatever, the stock market would have gone into free fall. But they've got their plunge protection teams in place again right now, I'm sure of that, to help prevent some massive, massive sell-off on Monday morning. And it's like Gerald Celente said when he was on my show on the Power Hour. He said very succinctly, he said, what they always do when they run out of money and they run out of options with their central banks as far as inflating the currency or manipulating currency or loaning money to people is they always, always, always take the world to war. He said that covers up their tracks. They get to destroy records, and they get to say that basically things were blown up, things were destroyed, and nobody ends up going to jail. But he says this is what these bankers always do. These are the Rothschild, Sabbatean, Frankist, Kabbalist, Khazarians that we've talked about many, many times. Because remember, you have to follow the money on all of this, and it's always about the money. Syria has been opposed to the Rothschild dictatorships, and they've been opposed to the dollar being the reserve currency of the world. They're allies with Russia, and basically, Assad had to go. And when Russia stepped up to defend him, now we're playing chess on a thermoglobal nuclear level. And so it's kind of sad, because if Russia comes in and says, no, you're not going to do this, then Russia's going to be in the middle of this mess. Because remember, France has already started bombing, supposedly it was France, has already started bombing targets in Syria. Now, here's the crazy thing about all of this. These bombers are saying they're linked to Syria, they're linked to ISIS that we put together. The United States funded all of this. They're saying they're from Syria, which you don't know if they are or not. But the nuttiest part about all of this stuff is now France is going in and bombing people in Syria as if they're the ones that bombed France. I mean, if you get into a fight with Johnny down the road when you're 10 years old, it doesn't make any sense for your dad to go down and beat up Johnny's cousin who lives in another state. None of it makes any sense. And so this is all insanity again. It's pushing us to the brink of World War III, and it's a serious, serious situation. I expect metals to go up unless they're nakedly shorted again by the Rothschild Bank on Monday or Tuesday, and I expect the dollar probably is going to get stronger, and then the stock market's probably going to precipitously fall off. But, again, the plunge protection team that Reagan put in place is there, and I'm sure they'll print as many trillions of dollars as they need to in off-book transactions in order to continue to buy up the market to make sure that the futures are all pushed back up again. What do you think, Oz?
Well, I mean, it's definitely clear, like you said. I mean, the ISIS or whatever you want to call them, I mean, this, whatever's behind this, whoever's behind this, this is an extremely militarized, coordinated attack that was carried out with actually very good precision from a tactical standpoint. This was not just some little, you know, boys out in the desert put together some pipe bombs and decided they were going to go blow up a restaurant. I mean, all these things happen within minutes of one another all over Paris. And I mean, when you look at the drive-by shootings on the random restaurants, which I don't think they were random, I think there were specific restaurants they were targeting, either with people in them or somebody was in them that they decided that they wanted to basically try and execute. And when you just start shooting blindly with automatic AK-47s through restaurant windows, you're probably going to hit just about everybody in the restaurant. And they did. They hit a lot of people. And then with the soccer stadium, and then with the concert, and everything back to back to back like this, this wasn't a few guys. This was at least probably 70 to 80 to 100 people coordinating this effort. So, I mean, this whole little thing where there was a couple ISIS guys that came in here with passports, that's the narrative they're telling us. Whether or not that's the truth, I doubt it, but I really think there's a lot more to this. And like you mentioned earlier, I was watching it pull up some stuff right before the show started, and it was saying that, yeah, France has already conducted 2 air raids on specific targets in Syria. And like you said, nobody in Syria really could have had anything to do with this. This was a direct, you know, coordinated attack in Paris. This wasn't something you could really do out of state. I mean, granted, you could be out of the city, possibly out of the country, but anybody that was doing this was directly in the vicinity at the time that it happened, primarily all the guys with the weapons and the AKs that they were shooting. But just the crazy part is... Wait, will you go on?
No, go ahead.
Well, the crazy part is that, like you said, they're blaming this on, we took 2 airstrikes out in Syria. We have pretty much, you know, which we have no idea who they actually killed or what they actually did, if they even did anything. But the truth about it is, whatever happened in Paris, there was a lot of people behind what happened. This was not just some little bobo, you know, shooting where 1 or 2 people got hit at one restaurant. This is a very, very, very coordinated attack.
Well, here's another thing. The Financial Times said that the tiny gas-rich state of Qatar has spent as much as $3 billion over the past 2 years supporting the rebellion in Syria to overthrow Assad, far exceeding any other government's involvement. But it is now being nudged aside by Saudi Arabia as the prime source of arms to rebels. The cost of Qatar's intervention is the latest push to block, to back an Arab revolt, amounts to a fraction of its international investment portfolio. But its financial support for the revolution that has turned into a vicious civil war dramatically overshadows Western backing for the opposition. In dozens of interviews with the Financial Times conducted in recent weeks, rebel leaders both abroad and within Syria, as well as regional and Western officials, detail Qatar's role in the Syrian conflict, the source of mounting controversy. Just as Egypt and Libya had their CIA Western-funded mercenaries fighting the regime, so Qatar is paying for its own mercenary force. The small state with a gargantuan appetite is the biggest donor to political opposition, providing generous refugee packages to defectors. One estimates puts it at $50,000 a year for a defector and his family, and has provided vast amounts of humanitarian support. So what they're doing is there's this huge thing trying to push this pipeline through Syria to compete against Russia for natural gas. And you got to remember, you've got to follow the money, because if these guys are doing this, it's going to be because the Rothschild banking cartel is going to be making money from this. And these guys are so greedy, Austin. They don't care what they do. They don't care who they kill. We saw all of this. Look at Operation Northwoods that was supposed to take place back in the 60s under Kennedy, in which they were going to actually go in and blow up airplanes in the United States and kill American civilians and blame it on Cubans so the United States would attack Cuba. The CIA had this thing all pushed through, ready to go, ready to start killing American citizens, and President Kennedy vetoed it. In fact, it was interesting. On the ABC Evening News several years ago, they actually exposed all of this and actually did a big interview on all of this as to what was going on and what happened with Operation Northwoods. It was a major false flag that was going to take place in the United States. It was already pushed through by the CIA and the black ops in Congress, and basically Kennedy said no, and I personally believe that's one of the reasons he wanted to get rid of the CIA. He saw how out of control they were. Let me give you a couple more examples of that. This is a really good question by Washington's blog, and it's called "The First Question to Ask After Any Terror Attack: Was It a False Flag?" And he gets several. He lists about 50 of these things, right? All these different false flags. I'm not going to read them, but a couple of them. He goes, number one, Japanese troops set off a small explosion on a train track in 1931 and falsely blamed it on China in order to justify an invasion of Manchuria. Number two, a major within SS Nazis admitted at the Nuremberg trials under orders from the chief of the Gestapo, he and some other Nazi operatives faked attacks on their own people and resources, which they blamed on the Poles to justify the invasion of Poland. Number three, Nazi General Franz Halder also testified at the Nuremberg trials that Nazi leader Hermann Göring admitted to setting fire to the German Parliament building in 1933 and then falsely blaming the communists in the arson. This just goes on and on and on. As admitted by the U.S. government, recently declassified documents show that in 1962, the American Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on a plan to blow up Operation Northwoods, to blow up American airplanes, and also to commit terrorist acts on American soil and to blame it on the Cubans. this was, there was an ABC News report with Peter Jennings, which exposed the entire thing years later. The U.S. Department of Defense even suggested covertly paying a person in Castro's government to attack the United States. The NSA admits that it lied about what really happened to the Gulf of Tonkin in 1967, 1964, starting the Vietnamese War, which, by the way, was to try to keep the heroin flowing out of the Cambodian Triangle. A U.S. congressional committee admitted as part of its COINTELPRO campaign that the FBI had used many provocateurs in the 1950s and 70s to carry out violent acts and falsely blamed them on political activists. A Mossad agent admits that in 1984, Mossad planted a radio transmitter in Gaddafi's compound in Tripoli, in Libya, which broadcast five fake terrorist transmissions recorded by the Mossad, again the Mossad, in order to frame Gaddafi as a terrorist supporter. Ronald Reagan then immediately bombed Libya. The U.S. falsely blamed Iraq for playing a role in the 9/11 attacks, as shown by the memo from the Secretary of Defense, and one of its main justifications for launching the Iraq War. The 9/11 Commission found there were no connections to Iraq. Although the FBI now admits the 2001 anthrax attacks were carried out by one or more of U.S. government scientists, a senior FBI official says the FBI was actually told to blame the anthrax attack on Al-Qaeda by the White House officials. This goes on and on and on, like 20 or 30 pages of stuff, all these different false flags. And then here we're going to get some quotes from the who's who of tyranny. Terrorism is the best political weapon, for nothing drives people harder than fear of sudden death. Adolf Hitler. Next one. Why? Of course, the people don't want war. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it's always a simple matter to drag the people along. Whether it's democracy, or a fascist dictator, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. This is easy. All you have to do is to tell them that they are being attacked, and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. Hermann Göring, Nazi leader. Final one. The easiest way to gain control of a population is to carry out acts of terror. The public will clamor for such laws, even if this has been changed. The easiest way to gain control of a population is to carry out acts of terror. The people of that nation will clamor for laws which will impose their, which will curtail their rights if their personal security is threatened. Joseph Stalin. I mean, this is nuts, and this goes on. I mean, I got 30 pages of that. I mean, we have a major problem in the United States with the sheeple not wanting to wake up and realize that this is Hegelian dialectic. They want to bring and get rid of the borders in Europe. They want a one-world government. They want to get rid of all of the different people in the different countries, and this is how they do it: problem, action, solution. The problem is they still have borders in Europe. The action is have these terrorist attacks. The next thing will be a global government to get rid of the terrorist attacks, and they push us and nudges further and further through what they want, a little bite to the time. They don't try to do it all at once. This has been going on for years and years and years with Assad, now with Syria, and finally, since Russia's got in the middle of it and trying to block a lot of this, now they're going full tilt, and now we're going to see if we're going to get World War III out of this. What do you think, Oz?
Well, I mean, we know that they're bringing in Syrian refugees in the United States. I mean, we know that they're not even screening a lot of them properly. It's funny, the Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes told Fox today that the administration was still planning to take in Syrian refugees the rest of this year and next year. And he went on to state, we have a very robust vetting procedure for those refugees. And then it goes on to say, with FBI Director James Comey basically told the House committee back in October, this completely opposes what Ben Rhodes said. He said, we can only query against what we have collected. And so if someone has never made a ripple in Syria that would get their identity or their interest reflected in our database, we can query our database until the cows come home, but nothing will ever show up on them. And see, that's the thing. That's why they're trying to bring all these people in, these radicalists that they can really use for false flags extremely easy. And they made it even easier now. The Obama administration has now allowed 1,519 tear-stained foreign refugees into the U.S. last year alone because their crimes were allegedly committed under duress. Now, this is pretty wild. They eased federal restrictions against terrorist activity for refugees and asylum seekers. Under the old law, they would have been banned from entering the country because of any support of terrorist cause. But now under the new law, the Secretary of Homeland Security has discretionary authority to waive certain cases of inadmissibility related to terrorist activity. And this is great right here. We've already taken in over 70,000 refugees this year. They said we're going to take 85 next year, and this is actually the numbers that they let everybody know. And they'll put them as temporary protected status, which allows foreign persons here as students, tourists, or other reasons to stay beyond their visa expiration date due to natural disasters or wars in their homeland. The bottom line is that the U.S. government is allowing them all to stay in this country with rights and benefits afforded to legal residents despite their terrorist connection and association. And they said more than half of the candidates had either provided material support to terrorist organization, received military-type training from a terrorist organization, voluntarily provided medical care to members of a terrorist organization, or solicited funds and contributed to membership in a terrorist organization, but that the terrorists that did this only participated in these activities while under duress. So, I mean, we can see that they're clearly gearing up to try and get something brewed in the United States. And I don't want to speak it. I don't ever want anything else to happen like that in the United States. But as you can see what they're doing here, they're getting ready to have the exact same incident in Paris happen somewhere in the United States. And if they haven't already planned for it, it's in the works. Because they, like Dad said a minute ago, they have to get rid of national sovereignty. They have to get rid of all the borders. They have to get rid of all the countries. They have to bring everybody together collectively and say, listen, we have to become a one-world government and a one-world military in order to take out these terrorists. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're allowing this to happen. They know it's happening. A lot of times they're planning it to happen. And just like the French government, they knew something was going to happen, did absolutely nothing about it. And it's really quite sad when this many people die when it could have easily been averted, or at least probably been averted.
Well, yes, but see, they don't care about see, you have to always remember this. They don't care about body count. They like the body counts.
Right.
They want the biggest body count they can get because it creates the most terror. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the show before we prayed, you literally have tens of thousands of interconnecting families now because of this. And it's happening all over the place. I mean, the Albanian Mafia is one of the number one crime families in America now. And they're bringing in all kinds of crazy terrorist groups into the United States. And they have terrorist compounds set up. There was one called the Galen compound right outside of Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania. And there's like 36 compounds across the United States now in which jihadists are trained through our United States government. They're training them. And so when they bring these people in and these things start happening and they start blaming it on false flags, they can completely forget that they're the ones that are bringing these people in. I mean, it's this whole thing is crazy. I mean, I remember several of the top people in the Patriot community gone to these different compounds and have seen them and actually gone to the front gates. I mean, these are actually terrorist training compounds operating in the United States of America, some three dozen of them. And our government knows about it because our government's the one who helps to fund it and promote it because they're training these, quote, militants to go out into the world and do their bidding as far as with false flags and to start mischief. The problem is, how do you know once they leave here they're going to listen to what you told them to do? And in fact, why are we even involved in that? That's a better question than that first one. Why is the United States doing stupid stuff like this? I mean, I realize that this is part of the bigger picture, I guess, of world dominion and, you know, and building empires and stuff around the planet and the Rothschild dominion of the planet and the CIA running drugs from Afghanistan. But dude, Austin, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, the United States has basically been subverted since John F. Kennedy got shot and we've had a hostile coup take over the U.S., and we're being run like a corporate dictatorship now in which we're doing whatever we want to do and killing whoever we want to kill. I mean, look at how historians are going to view the United States of America in 100 or 200 years from now. They're going to say that we were the biggest terrorist country in the history of the planet because of what we've done for all these Middle Eastern countries and all the people we kill with all these false flags. And it's what's going to happen. And, of course, you know, the history books will probably try to whitewash most of it like they try to do all of the time. But it's sad. Let's look at one more thing. This is interesting. Here's another GOP candidate. You got a GOP candidate, Lindsey Graham, and John McCain are talking. John McCain just needs to go home and retire. In the wake of the deadly Paris attacks by ISIS, some GOP presidential candidates such as Ted Cruz and Donald Trump and even Marco Rubio are calling for an end to the Syrian refugee settlement in the United States. This is an WND exclusive. Most of the others of the candidates have been silent or vague on the issue of Syrian refugees, about 2,000 of whom have already arrived in the United States, despite warnings from the FBI that it is impossible to vet their backgrounds. The fact that at least one of the seven attackers in Paris has a Syrian passport and entered France as a refugee brings this into clear focus. U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, who positions himself as a war hawk against ISIS, which he helped fund, by the way, is co-sponsoring legislation with Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, to nearly double the amount of funding Washington spends on resettling refugees from Syria. One day after the multi-pronged shooting and bombing attacks on Paris, which killed 129 civilians and injured 352, Graham pounced on bringing more Syrian refugees into the United States. Without giving a number, Graham has said the U.S. should accept its fair share of Syrian refugees. FBI Director James Comey explicitly warned Congress in a hearing last month that the U.S. does not have the ability to screen, what you said, Austin, the U.S. does not have the ability to screen Syrian refugees because data on their background does not exist. And the number given by Leahy, 100,000, also correlates with the number of being requested to various human rights organizations. So they want to bring in 100,000 Syrian refugees. That's a pretty good size army. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has called for 100,000 Syrian refugees to be resettled in the U.S. Remember, the Vatican is neck deep with Operation Gladio and Operation Condor, and this current pope is as filthy and as rotten as they come. He's just awful. He's the one who had so many of his own people killed in Argentina, and when I was there last 2 years ago, the people in Argentina still hate this guy. It goes on to say, just one day before the Paris attack, that ACER said that Graham's bill had bipartisan support to bring 100,000 refugees in. We should be defunding refugee settlements, not funding more, Jeffrey told WND. And I think that the majority of people in South Carolina would agree. I know Donald Trump has already said basically throw them all out, get them all up, and put a wall up. And when people wonder why everybody likes Donald Trump, he's the only one who's got a testicular fortitude to say anything. The Obama administration has already agreed to bring in 85,000 foreign refugees from all countries in fiscal 2016 and 100,000 in 2017. More than half of these refugees typically come from Muslim-dominated countries like Somalia, Syria, Afghanistan, Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Sudan, and the Republic of Congo. As an example of how oblivious most Americans are to the historic clash of civilization, nearly 100 mayors have signed a document calling for Obama to vastly increase the number of Syrian refugees being resettled in their cities. God. Even if none of them were terrorists, which is unlikely given the FBI warnings, bringing in unskilled people from the third world countries who will take jobs from Americans and send much of their paycheck back to their families abroad doesn't make good sense. More than 90% of the refugees from the Middle East also sign up for food stamp. 90%, and 61% are on Medicaid, 24% living in public housing. I mean, do we just think, what's the size? It's Cloward and Piven. That's what this is. It's designed to basically destroy the United States by entitlement programs. The majority of refugees fleeing are Syrian men, almost all of them, 97% are Muslim, and the majority of these are Sunni Muslim with stark adherence of Sharia law. Martel said Graham should drop out of the race. How can he even continue to be a candidate if he's filing this kind of legislation? I agree with that, but Graham, I never care for him anyway. He's a weirdo. So I mean, it just goes on and on. Austin, you got another thing on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy too, like you said. I mean, the economy is continuing to get worse. A lot of people think right now the housing market's, you know, blowing up again and everything's good and gravy, and it's not. I mean, everything's starting to collapse worldwide now as far as economy. And like you said, we're bringing in more and more people to take more and more jobs, give more and more food stamps, and eventually we're going to reach a point where we can't give out anymore. We've already reached that point where they're still just printing more money, I guess. Another article that just came out basically discussing the global trade, it says, never before in history has global trade collapsed this dramatically outside of a major worldwide recession. So far this year, global trade is down 8.4%, and over the past 30 days, the Baltic Dry Index has been absolutely plummeting. A month ago, it was sitting around 809. It has now fallen currently to 628. However, when you look at the trade numbers for specific countries, that's the numbers when they come startling. China accounts for approximately one-fifth of all global factory exports. And so far, China's export growth has helped fuel the overall global economy. But now China's exports are falling, down from 6.9% compared to a year ago. That follows a decline of 3.7% just in September alone. And the demand for Chinese steel is down 9% compared to a year ago. And even in South Korea, exports are down 15.8% from a year ago. So we're definitely reaching a point now where a global worldwide recession is about to occur. And the last thing we need to do is keep taking in more refugees that are just going to start rioting as soon as their food stamps don't become into play. We've already seen that repeatedly in multiple cities, what happens when people don't get, you know, their EBT cards working, when their food stamps, when all their entitlements stop. They immediately blame the people that are giving them free stuff. Instead of trying to figure out how to survive on their own, they immediately want more free stuff and they want somebody to blame. So this situation's just going to continue to escalate unless we can, you know, get people from other countries to stop coming here as asylum seekers.
No, you're absolutely right. And so the sad part about it is, you know, we know, and you know, it's so funny because it's almost frustrating because, you know, and I know that people listening, it has to be the same thing. You know, you and I warned about all of this stuff's going to happen with these crazy people coming into the United, into these countries in the United States, and we're going to start having these horrible false flags all over the United States to bring in martial law. I'll be honest with you, at this point in time, and I'm not making any predictions here because I certainly don't want this to happen, but I believe that we'll really be blessed if we even get a chance to elect Donald Trump into the White House. If Obama just doesn't file martial law and just basically stay in the White House, and we just have him as a dictator, because he can do that under the War Powers Act if he chose to do so, because he controls the military unless they decided not to listen to him, which he basically got rid of all the guys now who wouldn't listen to him. He's been firing them all anyhow. So we've got a major problem. My Christian friends who we try to talk to about this, they still have their they still have their heads buried so deeply in the sand, most of them, excuse me, that they don't even have any idea of what's even happening, much less that there's a problem over in Europe. And most people didn't even know, Austin, that I've spoken to in the last few weeks, that there was a Syrian refugee crisis invading Europe.
No, nobody. I've talked to multiple people about that. I said, if you watch what's going on with this Muslim Syrian invasion in Europe, what are you talking about? You know, the almost million refugees that have already entered Germany that are taking over towns and looting cities and just completely taking over everything. Oh, no, what are you talking about? That's going on? No, yes, it's going on. It's crazy.
Well, no, because we're geographically isolated and we don't think any of this stuff's ever going to reach our borders or affect the United States. But, you know, Obama's making sure that it's by bringing in 100,000 of these guys on a yearly basis. And it's George Soros who's being orchestrated through the Rothschild banking cartel, because remember, they're the ones who control the money, which they control all these great fortunes. And it's so funny, the former French president, you know, he was busted a few weeks ago for having problems, supposedly having drugs on his plane, but he was always diametrically opposed to all of this crazy stuff. And so now all of a sudden he's gone, and all of a sudden now they're framing him up for having drugs on his plane. It's kind of like what happened with Strauss-Kahn with the World Bank. A few years ago in New York City, he suddenly wants to do things differently than they want him to do it, and all of a sudden he basically is charged with having sex with a housekeeper against her wishes in the hotel room, and of course he was put in jail, he was replaced, and then he ended up basically, a few months later, after he got into compliance with what they wanted and shut his mouth, and they let him out of jail. I mean, this is what they do. You do what you're supposed to do, or you either get killed, or they lock you up, or they put false charges on you, and they try to arrest you and have you incarcerated. It happens all of the time. And sadly, I mean, it's not going to go away. It's going to continue to happen more and more and more as we allow this to happen. We have to have a complete clean sweep of the White House and the Senate and the House in the 2016 elections, if we even get a chance to have another set of elections. The incumbents need to go away. They need to be gone, unless they're people like Rand Paul or former Ron Paul or other people that are actually patriots and leaders, people like Lindsey Graham, and all of these crazy weirdos in Washington and their pedophile rings and their sex slaves and all the weird thing they've been, oh God, what a mess. They all have to go away. You know, they've got so much trash on them. They do what they're told to do, but they don't want all of this stuff exposed on them. Now, let me read you a few more things. This is by false flag attack. in Paris, and it goes into detail what a false flag is, which we already know that. And it has a couple of points. It says, think about how we expected this. We've been talking about it. You know, the Hagmans have been talking about it. Hodges has been talking about it. By the way, stay tuned. Hodges will be on in 15 minutes for 3 more hours, and he'll be covering more of this in depth. If you want to hear more of it, please stay tuned and listen to Dave. And I forgot again, this show is brought to you by healthmasters.com, and we have the highest quality supplements in the world. We've got great newsletters we send out 3 times a week on nutrition and health products. Healthmasters.com. We just found, now I was going to do an article on turmeric tonight, today. Turmeric has been shown to actually increase neuroplasticity in traumatic brain injury. So if you've got a person who's had a fall or even perhaps a stroke, and they have problems with their brain, and they have to have some healing in their brain, turmeric has been found that it actually helps to rebuild the brain. It's called neuroplasticity. It helps with that. And again, healthmasters.com. You can call us up if you'd like. 1-800-726-1834. That's 800-726-1834. If you're calling international, it's 863-967-0244. Because number one, we think about how we expected this. We knew false flags were going to occur. Number two, it's undoubtedly will create civil unrest, which we know is precisely what the globalists want. They want to divide and conquer. It's the same old story. Now it'll be the immigrants against the blacks, against the whites, against the Hispanics, and they're breaking us up into subgroups because we're easier to control. Number three, and it's all of this is occurring when our wretched politicians claim that they are combating terrorism. Well, we've had 14 years of their policies, and I'm not really totally going to say the situation is getting worse, and they're doing a lousy job with the terrorists because they're promoting the terror. They want this. And then it goes on to talk about our puppet politicians are ever going to admit that we're not doing a good job of fighting terror, and maybe we need to rethink this crazy strategy of bombing Arab nations into rubble. Maybe we need to stop killing people, and maybe we won't have as many terrorist attacks. And who's benefiting from the West's ludicrous foreign policy? You got Saudi, you got Turkey, you got USA, you got the Rothschild banking cartel, which funds all of this mess. You've got Israel, you've got the Mossad, you got the State Department, all of this stuff. And the sad part about it is that we know that these Zionists in the United States are exerting enormous influence on our government and our pedophile-loving politicians. How come these attacks always occur when these Zionist puppets abound? More to the point, if we are really dealing with fanatical Islamic terrorists, how come they never attack Israel? I'm going to repeat that because that's a really good point. If these guys are all sworn to kill Jews, they hate Jews, okay? They hate Israel. Why doesn't Israel ever get a major bombing, major attack, a major explosion? I mean, we get these little pockets of stuff that happen every once in a while, but why are they not doing that? Why are they not going into Israel and lobbing bombs and missiles and everything else into Israel? I mean, why is that happening? Why are they not having any mass? Or it could be because they got a giant wall around the country in that Palestinian area, and they search everybody who goes through them. I don't know. And what are all that sophisticated spying technology our governments are loath to tell us about, and how it blazes, and how in the blazes can fanatics acquire such weaponry and organize such military-style tactics without anyone knowing? I'm going to repeat that. We have the most sophisticated spy network in the world now. Facebook spies on you. The internet spies on you. Your Samsung TVs spy on you. Your iPads spy on you. Everything spies on you. Everything spies on everybody all the time. It's crazy.
Your red lights spy on you now.
Yeah, or your red light cameras spy on you. Okay, or your washing machines are spying on you. We got all of this giant grid of information that's happening, and you're telling me that an orchestrated attack of all of these different jihadists working together, they had to have hundreds of people in their support structures. Somebody had to assemble the vest. Somebody had to get the bomb. Somebody had to get the armament. Somebody had to provide the weapons. Somebody had to get the ammunition. Somebody had to get them in the theater. So, I mean, you got support structure, yin-yang, out the kazoo, just putting something like this together. And we're supposed to believe that no one knew anything about this? I mean, does anybody really even believe that? And, you know, and how could they organize such precision with this without anybody knowing about it? And this writer goes on to say, and last but not least, no one will claim responsibility, yet the finger of blame will be donated to the Islamists, even though this serves no purpose whatsoever to Arabs or Muslims or anyone. However, this event is absolutely just what the doctor ordered for the Zionists. Expect more of the same. If ISIS terrorists are operating in Europe, it's because our leaders have arranged it. I believe that. because we've allowed that to happen because we want to continue to bomb Syria and get that gas pipeline through there. And, of course, they're already blaming Syria and they're already bombing Syria for this. And so it's going to be interesting. I mean, Russia's going to have to make a decision on what they're going to do. They may blow up a Russian airliner a few weeks ago. You know, now they're blowing up Paris, blowing up parts of Paris. And now Putin's going to have to make a decision if he wants to, I guess, play ball with these guys or go after them. Austin, what do you think?
No, there's definitely going to be some pretty substantial decisions, man. They're going to be made by the end of the year. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff change and a lot of stuff progress rapidly now in the next 4 to 5, 6 months, because it's like you said, man, the support structure for this type of event to take place with this this much success with it from their standpoint. Well, granted, it was a tragic event, but from their standpoint, this is a success. I mean, they had almost every single piece dialed in exactly. And the fact that just they want to think that they want us to believe at least that nobody knew anything about it. I mean, give me a break. Just like we have the dozens of camps all over the United States that are doing that. They want us to believe that, oh, they don't know really anything about them, or they're just monitoring them. I mean, we went and sent ATF and the Branch Davidians in 1993 to raid their compound because we thought that the one guy that was leading them, David Koresh, had maybe built a couple automatic AR-15s without paying a tax stamp. Give me a break. It ended up the FBI, the National Guard, Delta Force, all of them came there, sieged the whole place for 50 days, ended up killing 76 people, including mainly women and children, for absolutely no reason at all. And you're telling me that they don't know anything about any of these guys planning these giant attacks, and David Koresh bought a couple AR-15 lowers and converted them to fully automatic, the ATF said he did, they didn't even have any proof, and they went and raided his entire compound and killed everybody in there because of that? Give me a break. They knew exactly what was going on, man. Everybody knew what was going on.
Well, they didn't kill everybody. A few people got out of there, but
11 people got out. 11 people got out.
They killed almost everybody, but the craziest thing is they killed almost all the women and children, and their big thing is the reason we're going in now is to protect the women and children. That's what they always want to say.
Yep.
And then they go in and kill almost all the women and all the children. I mean, the nuttiest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. I mean, they'd be crushing those guys. Don't get me wrong. The Branch Davidians were a bunch of nuts. They were a cult. I got that, okay? But they didn't deserve to die like that. Look at Randy Weaver up in
Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge. I mean, they didn't.
He didn't do anything.
They tried to bring him in as an informant, and he wouldn't do it. So they decided. So they snipe his wife and blow her head off. You know what? They took a 1,000-yard shot and took her head off while she was holding the baby in her arms. I mean,
yep.
Are you kidding me? That they sat in that cabin for days with a dead wife, all because they shot the kid's dog and the kid shot one of them. I mean, this whole thing escalates so quickly when you get the ATF and all these guys involved in anything. It's just a giant mess. I mean, ATF's been around for a long time, but they're one of the most corrupt organizations in the entire United States government. I mean, gosh, look what they did with the smuggling the guns into Mexico a few years ago and the Fast and the Furious to try to bring them back in to kill Americans. There's a couple more questions let me ask you real quick about the terror attacks. How many gunmen were there? Nobody's really figuring that one out yet. That's always interesting. But that's a hard one to get because you have a lot of people shooting. But I think you're right, Austin. There's a lot of people shooting. And the leaders all seem to get away all the time. Well, I personally think this thing was being orchestrated by the Mossad. And if the Mossad, this Mossad may have actually been the leader, and they had a way out quickly. What types of weapons were being used? They're supposedly AK-47s. We have the shotguns were used. But what were the actual weapons? We don't really know that. Were gunmen killed or arrested? While the number of gunmen itself is in doubt, news reports coming from Fox and Sky are suggesting that a suspected gunman, suspected now, was actually arrested. In fact, the suspect allegedly stated to police, "I am from ISIS," giving us all the information we need for who was responsible for the attack. Okay. Then number four, gunmen connected to ISIS, gunmen connected to Syria, along with a very convenient and immediate statement by the allegedly arrested suspect that he was from ISIS. We also have the screams of a shooter that this is for Syria. How about the timing of the event? This is before a major climate summit that was supposed to take place in France. This whole thing with these carbon taxes. The French government was expecting massive protests and rioting because of the climate summit. And so they were already talking about having to do martial law before that. France had already planned to impose border controls starting on November the 30th in anticipation of the UN conference on climate change in Paris. because of the terrorist threat or public disorder. Needless to say, there will be no massive protest out considering the fact that 2015 France resembles 1943 version when Nazi occupation occurred. Security, considering the fact that the security had been so heightened on the heels of Charlie Hebdo attacks and the anticipation of a disorder from the UN conference on climate change, how on earth did such a major terror attack slip through the hands of the French government? After all, French is nothing if not a police state. It's also giving the United States a run for its money, so much information they can nab on its citizens. Next, number seven is drills. One hallmark of the false flag operation is the running of drills shortly before or actually during the attack. Many times these drills will involve actual sequence of events that take place during the real-life attack. These drills have been present on large-scale false flags such as 9/11 as well as smaller scales like the Aurora shooting. For instance, at Webster's Tarpley documents in his book 9/11 Synthetic Terror in USA, at least 46 drills were underway in the months leading up to 9/11. Okay? So again, how many different drills were taking place in Paris at this time? Look at the Charlie Hebdo mess, what a junk. You shoot somebody in the back of the head, point blank range, 6 inches away from his head with an AK-47, you have no blood, that guy didn't get shot. It's nonsense. It didn't happen. Who controls ISIS? For many claims, that's the attackers belong to ISIS as a deal breaker. Where these individuals, ISIS is a shadowy terrorist organization that supports itself and basically is being based out of Syria. What ISIS really is, according to this author, was entirely created, funded, and directed by the United States, Britain, France, and other NATO countries, including the Mossad. Its actions have been coordinated by the Anglo-American intelligence apparatus for geopolitical purposes all across the world, both home and abroad. And that kind of sums it all up for the show tonight, Austin. I think that what we've done here is we've showed that, yes, this thing actually happened. Yes, these Muslims actually were jihadists. They were actually blowing themselves up. It was like you said the other day, that one prince got busted with suitcases loaded with these super strong amphetamines, make these people go nuts, which I'm sure all these bombers were keeping in their were probably snacking on all afternoon before they did this. And it's sad. So any closing comments, Oz?
Yeah, you're right. That Saudi guy, so it was 40 suitcases full of that amphetamine. It was like almost, what, a ton and a half of amphetamines that he was bringing back to Saudi Arabia. So yeah, you're right. I mean, you got to get pretty geeked up on something pretty strong to want to blow yourself up, regardless of how religious fanatic you are. That's a pretty serious commitment. So yeah, we'll definitely be following the story more this week, keeping everybody up to date on what's going on. Any new information that we receive, you know, from people, we'll definitely keep everybody informed.
All right, well, that's good. But again, just say, remember to pray for the people in Syria. Remember to pray for the people in the Middle East. Remember to pray for the Americans, for them to wake up. Make sure you put a hedge of thorns around you and your family, and make sure that you protect them to the best of your abilities every way you possibly can. And we need to also make sure we continue to pray for all of these victims of this false flag attack that I believe it really was in Paris, that we basically were being brought into this one world order, kicking and screaming whether we want to or not, Austin. So we all have to take care of each other and protect each other and pray for one another.
Yes, sir.
All right, we love you guys. Thanks for listening tonight. Wish we had a better show as far as more positive news. But we will see you guys tomorrow, or talk to you guys tomorrow from 3 to 4. We'll give you the next updates. God bless you guys.